Hello, hello, friends. Evil is the destruction of freedom. My name is Chris Jansen. This is the End Evil podcast. Thanks for joining me. There's a lot of exciting things I have to share. One of the first things I wanted to share with you guys real quick is mark your calendars February 19th, which is the Thursday before the Freedom Under Natural Law conference. Is going to be a special episode. I pre-recorded an interview with a YouTuber named Joey Phipps. He has a Library of the Untold channel, and I'm really looking forward to sharing this interview to kick off the weekend for the funnel conference. And Joey is also going to have a music submission from his music, Void Stares Back. And so I'm really excited to share that. And yeah. So there's a lot to talk about, and I wanted to kind of look back at some of our past episodes, our past conferences, and Funnel 1, Funnel 2, Funnel 3 were all amazing productions, and there were so many great speakers, music, and so I kind of want to relive some of the experience, and I brought on today some friends, and I'm going to start bringing them in here, so we can just kind of
organize crimes. Rigged.
There's a clip. I have some clips I'm going to share. There's one of them. And Tony, thanks for joining us, Tony. Tony actually did some hard work behind the scenes going through our website, Freedom Under Natural Law Conference, and going through the replays and finding lots of really neat clips. And so I want to share some of those clips with folks. And yeah, thanks for doing that.
Yeah, awesome. It was nothing. I was glad to do it, man.
Yeah, how was that experience going through them and watching them?
Man, memories, dude. Like, the Funnel 3 was the first one, the first natural law conference that I attended and met some really cool people. And, you know, that was kind of what inspired me to start my channel when I did, so.
Wake of Truth.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, yeah, I really appreciate that work you did, and China goes to show to other folks out there, too. I think one of the most commendable things about these Freedom Under Natural Law conferences is all just organized by volunteer work. No one has ever gotten paid anything through the conference. No one's made any money. You know, it's been our own initiative. No one ever told us to do a Freedom Under Natural Law conference. We just chose to do it. And we self-organized, and people like Derek. Derek's another good example. He wasn't even on the organizer team, and he just started coming up with jobs that he wanted to help. And he made us like little music things, clips, and he connected with Dorian, and they made those neat commercials. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that makes the conference really awesome is that, you know, we're not asking people to spend money necessarily. We're asking them to invest their time and energy to learn and teach natural law, and trying to make that as pure a message as possible. So Leslie, thanks for jumping in. Leslie's been with the project since the very beginning, Funnel One. Will Keller, he's the original engineer and scientist behind much of what we do at the conference. But Will, unluckily, is out busting his butt today, working to the last minute, and got stuck in some Bay Area traffic and called me on the way and said he's going to do his best to make it, but it's not looking too good. So everybody send some love and safe driving wheels to Will. And I want to pass the mic to Leslie. I appreciate you coming tonight, Leslie. And I just would like to hear a little bit from you how it's been for you being behind the scenes part of this experience.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Well, I have enjoyed being a part of it, and it's been a learning experience for me. I did work at a sports organization where we put on events, and so I had exposure to putting on national level like sports events. So I have a little bit of understanding of things, but very different. Never done anything online, and I wasn't a creator of that. I just was a worker bee. But this has been, I would say for me, you know, doing a presentation. So my very first presentation was Corruption of Care, and that was at Funnel One. And so that was my very first experience, like putting together like a public presentation, maybe the second time, but the first time online. And it was like a breakthrough in a way for me, for my confidence and for my exposure. And it was that thing that kind of Mark Passio observed and brought me into the One Great Work Network. So that was like a huge honor. And then that whole process just like created a momentum for me and a sense of responsibility to keep doing the work and to keep growing and expanding and developing a greater understanding and deeper knowledge of natural law and how it applies to my field, which is mental health. You know, I'm a clinical social worker and I do psychotherapy. And so I've been really working on figuring out what's my message, you know, and how do I take what I know and how does natural law apply to that? And then trying to kind of create my own area of I don't want to say expertise, but my area of focus. I think it's when you teach or when you present, it's a learning, it's a really big learning opportunity. And there's the technical aspects that you learn and the ways to get better at sharing your message, you know, with your language, building your rhetoric. And it's just a process. So anyway, it was fun to be a part of it from the beginning. And just to be honest, it was just simply like, Chris, you came up with this idea and we're like, why not? Right. And so we just put it together. So I think that's what's great. A great takeaway is that what seems like a daunting or an impossible task can really be a straightforward task if you come together and have teamwork and you proceed step by step. Yeah. And it's fun. You know, I've never been much of a chatter I don't chat much on social media and I'm never really part of that. And that was also my first really exposure to chatting online during events. And it was so fun and it led to meeting more people. So I would say it was pretty life transforming in a way.
Yeah, I want to come back to that meeting people part too, but we didn't get yet to introduce Crypt Rick. Thanks so much also, Crypt Rick, for joining us. And Rick, I'm trying to remember back. I think you joined the crew between Funnel 2 and Funnel 3, right?
Because
you presented.
Funnel 2 was my first presentation I ever did.
Yeah.
And it's like Leslie was saying, it was such a learning experience and I'm so happy I did it, but I just remember having so many moments of doubt. It took a lot of willpower to get through it. It was amazing how I tried to talk myself out of it so many times, and it was really, I'm so proud that I powered through it. And even if I never do another presentation again, I'm proud I did that, because I think it shows people that you can do it. And it was such an amazing learning. It wasn't a learning curve for me, but it was a great learning experience. I really enjoyed it. And I think that's what's great about Funnel, is that it allows people that maybe have never even done a presentation, you give them a platform to do it and to at least try it and grow from it. And I think that's so valuable. It shows people, like, I think it's cool when you see somebody like even me or somebody that's never done it before, trying to figure it out, getting it done, and then completing it. I think there's a lot of power in showing people that.
Yeah. So many people out there in the world have all kinds of great ideas and then never get to see them to fruition or completion. And speaking of that, like New Year's, right? How many people have made New Year's resolutions that fizzle out just like the fizzly fireworks they blew off that night, right? Yeah. But I thought it'd be fun to play a little clip here and there in this to inspire us and give us more stuff to talk about, and also just to kind of remember some of the things. So I'm going to play a quick, it's Diesel Automatics song. And then behind there's some visuals that I put in from Funnel 3 conference from some of the clips that Tony found. So while we're watching this, run your minds through. Here's a question I have for you guys. Is there any moments from past conferences, Funnel 3, Funnel 2, or Funnel 1, that really stick out in your memory that you want to bring up and talk about? Okay, so give that some thought, and I'll see if I can bring up a clip here. And I can hear somebody typing, whoever's typing.
Sorry. That was me. I thought I muted. I apologize.
That's all good, man. And anybody in the comments, feel free to share your thoughts as well. If you guys have memories or something you want to share, go ahead. But here you go. Let me see if I can bring up this clip. Here we go. Here it goes. Yeah. Okay.
If you are intelligent, then you know that freedom is inherent, cause it's evident. It doesn't come from government, it don't come from the president, it comes from the creator of all universal elements. Some people say it's God-given, others say it's heaven-sent. No matter what you call it, natural law sets the precedent. Subjective morality's a fallacy. There's laws that we cannot see, like gravity, that people accept happily, but tragically they believe that freedom has to be granted to a magically by royalty, a majesty. It's sad to see people willingly give up their liberty, cause they don't really see the enemy that's on a killing spree. The state, it hates sovereign individuals, cause those who follow natural law and abide by all its principles are mentally invincible, immune to the brainwash. We liberate ourselves and then help others break the chains off. We ain't soft, we go hard, like when the thunder hits, guns and clips, ready in self-defense from the government and the elite is running it. Blast them all, claim our freedom, standing under it. Natural law, the elite is running it. Blast them all, claim our freedom, standing under it. Natural law, freedom under natural law, for us all, yeah. Freedom under natural law, for us all, yeah. Freedom under natural law, for us all, what? For us all, what? Freedom for us all, what? You know what we do, get big on everywhere.
Cool, man. Nice. Yeah. And bring back some memories there. Jog any thoughts?
Gosh, it had me tingling, you know, like vibrating. It's inspiring, right? That song, that whole seeing the visuals with it is super inspiring. And I think that is one of the functions of this conference. It's to inspire us all. And, you know, things are rough, right? And sometimes it's hard to keep our morale and keep our energy up. And so when we come together in an event like this, or we just like listen and watch and tune in, that gives us inspiration. It gives us energy, you know, and validates the purpose that we're, you know, of this work, of what we're trying to do. So, yeah, like we need these inputs to help fire us up, you know.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've always thought about like, oops, I hit the mute button and didn't mean to. Why do football teams have cheerleaders? You know, like they do serve a function. You know, what is team spirit? You know, like what is morale? All those things are very important. And every job I've ever had, you know, it seems like so often people kind of like, they don't see the importance of morale. But to me, like, especially in the battle we're in here, where the battle for truth, working towards ending human slavery, where 99.9% of the population don't seem to recognize human slavery for what it is, or they don't seem to recognize evil for what it is, you know, the basic things we're trying to describe. So it's an uphill battle, and it feels like a wall that can't be crossed or something, you know. And so we have to encourage one another. And I think when I see somebody else online doing some great work, then it inspires me like, hey, that's great. You know, now let's build the momentum and keep it going. And I think personally, that's one of the things that really stands out for me with the conferences. But I'd like to hear you guys. What stands out for you? Anybody go ahead, jump in.
Lots and lots. Apparently we're not live on YouTube right now. I don't know if you checked the chat message, Chris, but
yeah, it was acting weird. I don't know. I don't know how to fix it.
But you know, there was a lot of stuff, and you know, you guys exposed me to some wonderful people. Even, you know, getting funky with the Fathers, right? With the funky Father music and folks like that. I mean, I remember things that stuck out. I just noted it real quick, and I had to look back on the website because sometimes I don't remember the names of these, you know, presentations that people had. And yeah, Crip Rick, yours was about shadow work. I didn't even have to look that up. I remember that. That was cool, man. But yeah, like I remember, you know, going back to the first one, the State of Freedom. That was just like a really cool, solid, foundational presentation by Chill Will Keller. He will tell truth. Watch out. And watch out for them greens. Well, it's not Dorian Greens anymore, Dorian Saracen, but like Through the Shadow. That was really cool dance art, you know, abstract presentational stuff. So yeah, there's a lot to draw from and stuff. And so yeah, Chris Nelson, what's up? Sarah Cross, I saw you coming as well. They'll be in the next conference, so that'll be fun.
I like, Derek, that you brought up the music, and I just want to, one of the things I like about our funnel conference is that we're incorporating other types of inspiring things, like not only spoken word, but we're doing art, visual art. Rick's wife actually had some great art in one of our, I think, funnel three, and we have Sarah Cross had art. It's where we really got to first knew Sarah. First time I got to know who Sarah was through the art on the funnel. I don't know if it was one or two. It's confusing to me the which was which. But when we have music, we had Joe Murray and Diesel Automatic and the Funky Fathers, and we're going to have more music. We're going to have some, you know, musicians and songs, or, you know, songs on our this funnel four, and some art as well. So I love that, because there's more than one way to teach, and there's more than one way to inspire. Yeah.
Hey, too, if anyone's having trouble, well, I guess if you couldn't see the YouTube stream, then you wouldn't hear me saying this, but I just did add the Rumble stream, if anyone wants to share that anywhere, if that helps. But yeah, I like the working together aspect of all this stuff, and you know, anytime we can share each other's work or each other's websites, it's like, you know, has a cumulative effect, which I think is really cool. Apparently it's Chris Nelson's birthday. Congratulations on that. Yeah. Derek, any thoughts?
I just shared some, but what about Tony?
Oh, well,
nice hat, by the way. Truth Warrior.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd say... Nate Capp's Oculus presentation really stuck out for me. There was just, you know, it made me like look at Christmas trees differently, and just, I mean, there's so much, you know, just symbolism in there that, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you could watch over and over again. And I know he's really good with that kind of stuff. And yeah,
I think there's content for all levels of, you know, within the conference, you know, so like Nate's Oculus is pretty advanced material, right? But we also have some more, you know, for newcomers, it's been asked, you know, who is this targeting? And it's targeting both people who are already introduced, especially people introduced to natural law, you know, because this is an opportunity for you to get inspired, to deepen your knowledge, because learning should never stop. And the study of natural law is very deep. It's very, it's simple, and yet it's deep. And it's more than just an intellectual understanding. There is a transformation that happens where it really becomes embodied and seen in everything. And I think that you don't get to that place unless you expose yourself to these concepts and ideas and conversations over and over. It really is a study. And so these conferences are a place where you can start to do that, and you can start to maybe identify where your wheelhouse might be, where your interest is, you know, where you might want to go deeper, where you might want to start talking and teaching. And I wanted to really point out, okay, that, you know, this, we talked about how this is a voluntary event. We created it. It's voluntary on all levels. But it's also an example of anarchy in motion. You know, we did this voluntarily. Nobody's forcing us, right? It's something that we're doing, and we're working together. We're coming. We're each taking responsibility for doing a part of this. And that is something I want everyone listening to think about, that this isn't just an entertainment event. It's not just something that we're doing for you. This is something that really only has long-lasting and deep value if it's shared and if it's viewed, right? So in when we talk about anarchy, we mean an external anarchy, no rulers, but internal monarchy, which means that we take charge and responsibility of ourselves, our thoughts, feelings, and actions, and that we are all part of the solution. If we want freedom and we care about truth, then we are all going to ask ourselves, what can I do? How can I help this process of sharing these concepts that are very foundational to the experience of freedom in the world? And so it may not be that you're ready to do a presentation, but what you can do, what everyone can do, is you can share the conference. You can take the flyer that, you know, Chris this year did a marvelous job, a beautiful flyer. Grab that flyer and share it on your social media. Talk to your friends, you know, tag people, you know, encourage, invite. And notice, you know, if that gives you anxiety to do that, you know, and maybe where you are right now is the first step of just kind of coming out, you know, with this knowledge and being willing to claim it and say, yes, this is important, my friends who don't understand it, you know. You know, we don't want to coerce anyone, but we want to expose.
You know, that's, Leslie, there's a good point too there. Like, if you're still wondering about things and you're not completely sure, like, that's a good way to test things with your family and friends. Ask questions. You don't have to come out with declarative statements like, this is the answer to everything. You can say, hey, I watched this thing. It's really interesting. It's got me thinking. What do you think about this? In fact, most people respond better to that anyway. So I really want to encourage listeners to pick out little parts. And if this confuses you, all the more, clip it, ask questions, you know. And this is a good opportunity for folks too, what Tony did. Everyone out there can be doing, like, picking out different clips from presentations, things that are worth saving and sharing. Share them, save them. And then if you actually do some of that work and contact me, I'll play your clips. In fact, what I would really love to do is the Friday before the conference, Thursday night's going to be my interview with Joey Phipps. I would like to do Friday night, like, Clipsmas, where we play clips from past funnel events for like an hour, hour and a half. So I'm going to open the door for anyone that wants to do more of that work, pick out stuff from the past conferences, and by all means, share it on your own social media sites. But also, if you want to share it here, we'll shout you out for doing that work and appreciate it. So yeah, go ahead, Leslie. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it reminded me of something cool.
No, that was great and complimentary. Another way that you can participate is, well, I was going to say the clips thing, right? But I think that this is a repository of knowledge, right? So I think long-term. You know, we might not have a lot of views. We have actually some decent views. We're building up, right? Some momentum is gaining. But this is hopefully stored in a lot of places in different forms so that people can find it 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that, you know, that it's like a library. And that's important, that we create these libraries of this information, because this is becoming silenced. It's becoming occulted. You know, it's like the mystery schools that were shoved out to the outskirts and kept away from the masses. And we're having a similar kind of dynamic going on with censorship. And so we need to work a lot extra to get this information out there.
Yeah, and it's a complicated world. But with that, I think this is a good point for me to share another little clip because Tony mentioned Nate. I have a clip with Nate. And so let me see if I can pull that up. And
yes, there's more than meets the Oculus, right?
More than meets the Oculus. You got it. Exactly. Let's pull up Nate. Where are we at? Here he is.
What's up, Fred?
So love is the answer, right? But take it a step further, and agape is the highest form of love and care by doing what it takes to be free, which is correct and true. So the point is, I hope that you got the point, and I hope you're inspired, and I really hope that your Oculus has been filled with at least a little bit of light today.
That was kind of a shorter clip.
But, was that sped up at all?
It sounded sped up. Yeah.
It did.
Oh, yeah. I think that might have been one where I accidentally sped it up a little bit. Sorry about that.
But yeah, that was, you know, his Earth Brain 3, man, like that was powerful. And I need to rewatch that whole series too, because there's so much to learn. And, you know, my retention is not always as good as I would like, but, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you keep delving into it and you learn something new and, you know, kind of see it from a different angle every time you view something like that, because there's so much symbology in all of it. And yeah, it's cool that way.
Yeah, like you have to be kind of exposed to something. Like I think in marketing, they say that you need to say something 5 to 7 times before someone, you know, so you'll hear in commercials, they'll find a creative way to repeat their slogan, you know, many, many times, because that's kind of what it takes for humans. And like, I agree with you, like guys like Brandon Martin and Douglas Martin and Nate Kapp, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have nearly the understanding that I do of some of the symbology, for instance, in the Freemasonry. You know, I've heard Mark talk about it, but then hearing each of those gentlemen break it down in different ways has given me a much more deeper understanding. And then, you know, maybe I saw Michael Tsarian talk about it or something, you know, the solar cult. And then I heard Douglas talk about the solar cult. And it's like, okay, yeah, like you're saying, you start to make certain connections and it starts to sink in a different way. And then the synchronicities hit when we do like the conference, because then you see a few different presentations and you start to catch parallels and things that strike from the other one that give you a new thought that compounds and builds upon the new one. But how about you, Rick? Do you got any memories or things that are sticking out in your head about Funnel 3 or past
conference? Oh yeah, for sure. And I just like what you guys are saying about how it, you know, it shows what people can do when they come together, you know, with a common goal that they want to achieve. And it's just, that's so inspiring to me to see that people can do that. And you have all people, like I said, everybody coming together to put something out for people and for people to get involved. And I always say, like, the first step is always the hardest. And I know it's a cliche thing to say, but it's so true. And I think it's important that if people do want to get involved, like Leslie and you guys were saying, is that, you know, there's so many different ways you can do things. Like maybe you don't want to do a podcast. You're not comfortable doing that. You don't want to do presentations, but there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that needs to be done as well that people that do it usually don't get enough credit for, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, you can do thumbnails. You might be good at editing. You could be promoting. There's like, I always say to people on my shows, like, you have everybody has a unique talent. And I always say there's a way you can incorporate that unique talent of yours into getting this information out there in your own creative way. And the trick is to find, you know, your way of doing it and your own unique way of presenting it. So I think that's really important, and to let people know that. And a couple of things that, like, three of the presentations that stick out for me is definitely the first one was with Angela Umelo, and that was last funnel with the science of self-care. I thought that was a really powerful one because, and I interviewed her several times after that because I was really interested in the products that we use all the time and that we're putting on our skin, and we're, and it was fascinating to me. And then the whole science of the self-care, it was really, I found that really interesting. And then I was telling Chris that his on how to willpower is a big one with me. I talk about it so often that I think that's what a lot of people are lacking is willpower and to see things through. So that was a great presentation. And I said, Chris looks so happy and natural in that one. He was out in nature talking, and it was just really, I really resonated with that one. And I hope I can go hiking with you someday, Chris, because God, I'd love to be there. I really want to see that place. And the last one, definitely, Leslie, I love your presentations because you talk about trauma, and yours was released from trauma. And I've always enjoyed your work because you talk about trauma. And that was one of the first presentations I ever saw, was one of Leslie's on trauma. And she was talking about big trauma and little trauma. And that's always resonated with me because it's so true. Marx has said it. I've heard other people say it. We all have traumas. They're there, whether you're dealing with them, you're aware of them, they are there. And I always say they're playing in the background, whether you even realize it, and they do affect you. And I think that's so important that we talk about that. And Leslie does a great job. So I always love Leslie's presentations when she digs into trauma. It's something I talk about a lot on my shows because I think it's really important. It's one of the most important.
Yeah, it's kind of like a missing link. I've realized that I didn't, it's a piece of the puzzle I didn't have. And then the more I've spent time and learned from Leslie, the more I really see, like, how her, what she shares with the trauma stuff is so needed to understand. Yeah. It's part of a big part of why it's so hard to, why the wall I was describing, that it feels like this huge problem we have that seems unsurmountable.
Yeah.
Of people just really not being able to see something that's right in front of us.
Yeah. And it goes hand in hand with shadow work. Like, that's why I think I probably resonated with so much, is I talk so much. That's my big thing. I love talking about shadow work. And as people know, I think it's so important. I think that's another thing that these strong, like, people are lacking, is that foundation, a strong foundation. They can tell you everything that's going on around them in the world, but they don't really know what's going on within themselves. And so I think that it goes hand in hand. Leslie's work talking about trauma, and other people talk about it, and then doing the shadow work. And then you need both, I think.
Oh my gosh. What you're just saying right now is clicking me on something that I really want to talk about real briefly. And it's not just in having to do with the Freedom Under Natural Law conference, but when we do the conferences or when people do presentations, I'm not saying that a presentation doesn't ever have critical elements of the external world. They certainly do. But what I think is particularly powerful about presentations, and almost all the presentations in these conferences, they're giving a challenge to the listener. And they're about what I do on a personal basis inside of myself, inside of the, in the context of the world we're in. And they're leading you towards taking actions in your own personal research and study and self-growth. Whereas when you're out in the world or on social media, even in freedom communities, it's constantly people trying to talk about what other people should do and how externally things should change, but avoiding the actual subject of what I need to do to change. And that's kind of like where we keep trying to bring it back, I feel like, in the Freedom Under Natural Law conference. And I feel like almost all the presentations have done that in some form or another. And it's way more powerful than having these endless and useless conversations on Threads that are just people kind of going back and forth about their ego opinion on things, as opposed to presenting something in a well thought out manner and being able to observe the beauty of someone really putting some time and effort into thinking about fully what they're going to say from the beginning to the end and showing images along with that. That's a whole nother level of communication that you just don't get on most of the BS talk out there. So,
Thanks, Rick, for sharing your appreciation. I do appreciate that. And it's become really clear to me that understanding psychology and the impact on our minds of traumatic events in our life, in our parents' life, in the historical experiences of our ancestors is really important to understand why we're not free and what we need to do to become free and what is our own inner, our own responsibility. Like what we have to start with ourselves and understand our own internal slavery or internal oppression, which we have adopted from the external world. And it's, and the worldviews that we have adopted and start to challenge them. So understanding how we have become who we are and how we identify ourselves in the world is really important. And then kind of peeling away the layers of obfuscation, the things that are clouding us from sort of our inner wisdom and the wisdom that is evident in natural forces and in nature itself, as opposed to this artificial structure, this overlay that we've been living in for thousands of, you know, for very, very long time, right? So it's a daunting, it's a taunting thing, but what's really, what inspires hope for me is that in my lifetime, I've been able to see something really profound and deep. And if we can each do that individually, then that means other people can do that. And it's just a matter of more and more and more people caring enough to question and think and learn about themselves and learn about the social dynamics and the root causes of things and stop looking externally for solutions, for saviors. But again, come back to yourself and what can I do? And your first step is the inner work, always.
Mm-hmm. Let's play another clip. Let me see. I got, I was talking about Douglas. Let me see if how my Douglas clip looks here. Hopefully they're not all in fast speed like my last one.
So let's start with the plane of effects. Now here we see in the illustration, the patron of the movie theater is yelling at the screen, dissatisfied with what he's seeing on the screen, and he's demanding change. So he's not going to really experience any real change in this modus operandi. And what he really would need to do is go up into the projection booth and change the reel. So this is allegorically the same as operating in the plane of effects. So in order to fully understand this, we need to understand what is truth. We need to understand that truth is objective and independent of people's perceptions, and that our responsibility is to align our perceptions to truth. We could never know the whole of the truth. That would be like the mind of God. But what we can do is we can learn to understand the moral laws of creation and align ourselves to that, what we can term natural law. So ignorance is the true adversary. We're not talking about ignorance of how to build a go-kart or how to build a rocket ship. We're talking about ignorance of cause and effect, that human behavior has consequences. We have free will, but we don't have free will without consequence.
All right. That was a good one. That was kind of appropriate because Douglas, I like that allegory, that metaphor about the movie theater. Like the guys in theater, like, what's going on with the screen? You know, like it's like you're not going to change it from the viewer position. And that is exactly what Leslie was just saying, what I was leading in towards her. Anybody else want to comment on that clip there or what we've been talking about?
Causality. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great image. And I love the fact like those visuals, and they're like tailor made. This is why, you know, watching these presentations is so great. And, you know, meeting folks like you and Leslie in real life, and even David Hot Rodriguez, right? And like, up in Reading, and then
we'll have to do David's clip next.
Yeah. Oh shit. Really? Well, voila. But, aside from Douglas Martin, and that thing's great. My good friend Theo Lux, that's like one of his all-time favorite presentations, I think. What about Dana Martin and like Dr. Melissa Sell and some of the other females that have been rocking and shocking folks in the funnel conferences as well? Yeah, it's great. You guys have found a able to strike a balance, you know, like, yeah, sometimes these things are like overly headlined with men, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, but yeah, just having some of that feminine essence in the mixture helps out with the conscious fixture. But anyways,
yeah, I gotta mix it up, keep it interesting. I think for me too, like, another big thing is the variety. I've always occurred to me that, yeah, I can do a podcast every week with my face on it and my voice and the way I say things, but you know, when I listen to any other one person, I always go, well, I wonder what other people think about what that person says. And so we have these kind of situations, and it gives people an opportunity to hear 10, 12, 15 different people in a powerful way and compare them and find the similarities. And I think there's an extra bonus to that, having that variety and different voices and personalities. It's pretty important.
I think it's really necessary if we're going to spread this information to large numbers of people, because, you know, not everybody like really is into listening to Mark Passio, for example. You know, he reaches many, many people, but some people are pretty kind of get turned off, and that's okay. So then you might find someone else who has a different approach, and you resonate more with that, or you feel more, sense of you can relate to them. So that's why all our voices matter. Like Rick was saying, we all have a unique voice that we can that will reach different people than the next person.
Yeah, just like every note has its own unique sound, you know. People are born with their unique personalities. Let's share. I'll share David's clip right now, and then we'll come back and see what maybe Tony or Rick have to say. Let's see here.
From the comedy show?
Yeah. David's doing some good comedy these days. Here we go. David, clip. Let's see how this one goes.
Freedom is upon us. This is why we're turning slaves into kings, because this principle, once you know for a fact that you own your body, for sure, now you can choose to comply or not. But some people obey government because they believe government's legitimate. But if you've read Lysander Spooner's amazing essay from 1870 called The Constitution of No Authority, you would know that government is just a gang.
With the Jack Thug boots.
Absolutely.
I always think about Corey Enderlin when I hear Lysander Spooner, because he quotes him so much, you know, and it's cool like that. And also James Corden as well, especially with his new ramp up with voluntarianism and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that this statement of that government is a gang, you know, might be shocking to some people, but the more that you really contemplate that and observe the level of coercion and threat of violence and actual violence done in the name of, you know, of government, you see that it operates like a street gang. And then you can, you know, start to see how government almost, I think, is what on some levels creates street gangs. And they are in cahoots a lot of the time, you know, so...
Yeah, one type of evil often breeds another type of evil. And I've often noticed that about city planning. You know, find me a city that doesn't have a ghetto or bad neighborhood. You know, it's like they get planned into the matrix of how that situation is set up. It's a setup. There's going to be, our financial system depends on people claiming bankruptcy and people failing. You know, we don't have to live that way where someone has to always owe constantly just to live, just to eat. You know, we could recognize that if we keep our little communities of people that we live and interact with safe and well fed, then that makes us more safe and comfortable in our community. And so there's a responsibility for every being in an area to take care of the other people in that area for their own safety and for their own common good. But when we're expecting some other outward authority to do that for us, it's a very corrupted situation. And it's one of the most obvious ways that we can see where natural laws being blatantly ignored and not understood. There's many ways, many things we do on a day-to-day basis that aren't good. We're participating in evil because these things are using forms of stealing. And it's blatantly obvious that taxes is a form of stealing. I didn't give them permission to take my money and they took it anyway. That's stealing. And so anyone tries to say it's not, is what is that argument? Where's that coming from? How could you even make that argument? It's only because of what? Trauma in the past of their life that causes people to hold on tightly to these things out of security for fear of what might happen if they don't hold on so tightly to it. I don't know. We're trying to understand that. We're trying to understand people. But I guess here's a question for you guys. The hardest thing I found is trying to introduce people to the idea, the concept of natural law, when they haven't heard it or they don't understand what I'm talking about. And so I do think part of why we created the conferences was exactly for those people. And so I'm curious if you guys have any thoughts or ideas on how to reach people and or how you think that these conferences might help with that process.
I'm just going to say real quick, because it's funny, because, you know, I've been able to get through to even family members and coworkers, friends regarding natural law, but not the conspiracy route. If I talk about, you know, hey, like spirituality, this is natural law, this and that, they're more open to that than me talking about, you know, Freemasonry and 9/11, whatever the fuck, right? It's interesting. And I've just been able to like just have a cool approach with it, I guess. And I don't know, because I feel like natural law is the underpinning, you know, isness about everything about reality, pretty much. You know, we can apply it to every single fucking thing any given time, because it's happening every millinanosecond, right? So yeah.
you're the lucky one, Derek. If you're running into people that are accepting, you're the lucky one, because I'm running into people that are like diamond. Like, I'm serious. I run into some people that I bring up natural law and they really have a hard time with it. And then at first, let me correct myself. When I first really started, I think we all go through this when we start to learn about this and take in more information, you want to go tell everybody about it, or at least I did. And I would just go at them and be like, let me sit you down and tell you what's really going on. Let me tell you about government slavery. And I overwhelmed them. Like, and I always look at it like a circuit board. Like, you know, you can only put so much voltage through a wire before you blow the whole circuit board. And I think the way I was coming at people was too much wattage. And so I learned very quickly that, you know, you have to have a good approach. And I find just bringing up the topics or even pointing them to some of the funnel presentations or people that are doing interviews, whatever it be, is a great way. And then get a discussion going. So I found I get way more progress and things happening when I bring up a topic and then it's just a discussion and you let them come to their own thoughts and conclusions and you're not trying to beat them over the head with it. You're just having a discussion. And I love doing that in the summer around a fire pit. And I've had some of the best conversations in my life with people that didn't know this stuff at first, but they're curious if you do it the right way. And I always say, I wish I had them recorded. I wish I could like hide a mic in these, and when we have these discussions, because some of the greatest things have happened in aha moments and stuff in these discussions. So I think that's important, is how you approach people. At least it was for me.
Thanks, Rick, for sharing that. How about you, Tony? Any thoughts on that?
Well, one thing that I was reminded of, kind of going off of the whole David Rodriguez clip and then what Leslie said, is over the holidays, I was playing one of the old Mafia games, and you know, you have to go collect protection money, and I just like, you know, but they frame it like, well, but we're the good guys, okay, so we're protecting you from that other gang. And I'm like, you know, how do people not realize that's exactly what taxes are? That's exactly what government is. I mean, it's just a quote unquote legal, but I mean, it's no different.
Just bigger and uglier.
Yeah.
You know, well, the biggest, I guess, ugliest gang out there.
Anyways, yeah.
Capturing like billion people, or how many people are here in the, you know, United States, and people are afraid, right? So fear is a really big part of it, as well as, you know, worldview indoctrination, right? You know, things that you're taught from the very beginning of life and just told to follow directions, do what you're told, you know, don't rock the boat, don't challenge, or else you will suffer consequences. So even when you think about it like that, you can see that we're all under a state of duress and coercion. And, you know, many, many people I know can knows that they're being still, you know, that taxation is wrong, you know, or that it's excessive, you know, and yet they are afraid, as, you know, because the only way, you know, one person saying no isn't going to change anything, right? That one person just becomes an example of to the others of why they don't want to break the rule, right? So that's why we really aren't, from our perspective, generally, it's about the education and the consciousness. It's like free your mind. It's shift the consciousness in enough people to turn them the tide over 50, you know, over 50% to become the minority of the majority of people who understand. And then together, our activism, our boycotting, our detachment will have power.
Right. Like, everybody has to go to sleep at night. And when you see people out there taking actions and being brave and putting their time and energy into the overall good or what's right, then it's going to hopefully weigh on some folks like, wow, you know, how'd they find the time and energy to do that, you know? So I'm going to play another clip. So we got a little more time here. I got Logan Hart. And since we're talking about this topic, Logan Hart did Trivium Hacking.
Trauma, especially compounded trauma, experienced over time, erodes and breaks down the identity of an individual and demoralizes them. This is the state where a person is most susceptible to mind control. Their mind is broken down and ready to have malware installed. Trauma and coercion till the soil of the garden of your mind, priming it for the planting of the seeds of programming and mind control. The functions of mind control are to diminish your self-worth and compel you to capitulate and abdicate your power and authority, and trauma bond to false identities, which result in predictable and easily manipulated behaviors. We act and behave in alignment with who we think we are, who we are identified as.
Yeah, really powerful.
That is so powerful.
Wizard Factory. That thing is 5 hours long. He did a prolonged version after the Funnel 3 one. I highly recommend that. You can check out, we did an interview kind of encapsulating that on Dissolving the Divide last year. Leslie, do you remember? That was fun. That was really it's not fun to talk about mind control, but just like, it's fun to, you know, converse with conscious cats like yourselves.
Well, it's the one thing that breaks the spell is talking about it and being aware and conscious of it. You're not in a spell when you're aware. And, you know, like I've pointed this out too, if you take any time and look into hypnotism is a good example. Books on hypnotism or professional hypnotists will tell you there's a strong third of the population that are basically, you can't hypnotize them. And that's because people that are self-aware, they don't easily allow themselves to be manipulated. You know, then there's a percentage of the population that are willing to allow themselves to be manipulated. And then there's a percentage of the population that don't even recognize that they're being manipulated. And so, you know, those pretty folks that don't even have any idea that there's manipulation going on, it's pretty far cry. It's going to be pretty tough. I'm not saying there's not a way, but I don't know it. But there is that other percentage of the population that are slightly aware, or they know something's wrong. And by pointing out and describing the trap they're in, I hope that things like Logan's presentation on mind control will help them see some of these connections.
Yeah. So when I work with a client, I always start out with, where are you now? Like, I observe and I elicit an individual to explore and observe where they're at. Like, we have to start from where we're at. That's true for all of us with knowledge, with healing. And so part of this is identifying, where did your thoughts come from? What's the story of how you got to where you're at? And where are you orienting? What are you oriented to? That's similar to some of Nate Kapp's work, is talking about orientation and how important that is. And this requires a development of awareness and reflection. You have to observe and look at your thoughts, your behaviors, your feelings, you know, your family, your, you know, everything, what you're taught in school, what the medical system's telling you, what they're not telling you, what are alternative, you know, viewpoints. I think it's fun. You know, I like to learn and see, but that is the foundation, orienting yourself and reflecting and building your awareness. And then you can start to see these mind control strategies and how they have shaped you, how they've shaped your family. How was it created? What were the effects of those experiences? Because you could see that trauma is one of the most primary forces for creating who we are right now. And if we don't take the time to really observe and see that, then we will stay in the realm of effects and not see the true causes. And if we don't know the causes, then we really can't create deep change, real lasting change.
Yeah, that's so important, process of how things actually manifest in this world. Someone else going to comment or?
Well, on the topic of hypnosis, you know, even the people who are prone to hypnosis, a lot of times hypnotists will prime them, you know, before the show, kind of prepare them in certain ways. And I think, you know, that's being done to all of us all the time too, through different channels, through the media, you know, through different events, whether you want to believe they're real or not, whatever. I mean, just in various ways.
Yeah. And there's so much manipulation going on out there. How could anyone tell the difference at a certain point? Like right now, everybody's seeing things in the sky, and we know that there's technology now that can create just about any image, you know? So yeah, everything's arguable to a point right now, and people are asking you to believe this or to believe that, or, you know, there's all these conversations of what's important to be paying attention to right now. And so I think it's really important for us, those of us who get it, to bring things back to what really is important, which is, you know, understanding that objective morality, you know, there is such thing as right and wrong, and we can agree on it. We can see it. We can all feel it in our heart, in our soul. If we touch into that spirit that we come from, it's right there, you know, And so with that, I think I'm going to play one more clip, and then I'll get one more round if anybody else wants to say a few words, and then we'll close it up for this week. And really looking forward to the excitement building to this conference. So let's see. I got one more. Let's see what we got here. Maybe I can get a Mark Passio clip here. Let's see what Mark's got to say.
Religion as a form of mind control that holds us back from evolving in consciousness, that holds us back from the recognition of truth and objective morality and natural law. The word religion itself is etymologically derived from the Latin verb religare, meaning to tie back, to hold back from forward progress, to bind. It is occult binding. It is a spell. And again, this is all religion, not just the cultural religions, not just Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, etc. You can name all of the cultural religions of the world, but there's still other religions. There's the belief in authority. That's one of the biggest religions on earth. There's the belief in government. There's worshiping money. There's worshiping quote-unquote science, even though it's all basically government grant money funded science. It's not true investigation into truth of how the laws of reality really work. And there's many, many, many others. People can...
Oh, that was the end of the clip.
That was a great presentation.
Yeah.
I still remember finding Mark's natural law presentation, and I was just it was so powerful. I've probably watched it 10 times since I first ever found it, because there's so much information in it. But I remember after every listen, and the more you learn and stuff like that, it starts to put that tapestry together. I think we got a lot of people kind of got the idea and a lot of things, but it's all fragmented. At least it was for me. It's like the puzzle was all mixed up, and Mark does a great way of breaking things down and kind of putting the pieces in there for you and filling things in. Because I would hope people think that things are messed up, like you're feeling that things are off and stuff. I would hope people are at that point now. And it just made a big difference. And that was a great presentation on their seven real deadly sins. Because, yeah, religions, wow, there's a lot of them. It's not just like what people think when they hear the word religion. And when you start to learn that about the religion of money and all these things, it's really powerful.
Absolutely. The way we're bound to things, if you think about it in a literal sense, imagine being tied to something.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you be able to do? You know, if you're tied to a pole, you'd be like, oh, you're stuck. You can't reach. You know, you got little Tyrannosaurus arms. Well, that's what it's like in the spiritual world, the mental spiritual world, when you get yourself so tied to an idea that you can't let your mind roam around. You can't consider it from other points of view because you're stuck. And it's hard to recognize we're stuck. It's hard to admit we've been wrong. But, you know, we're giving people an opportunity, a way to do it with that's hopefully not so difficult. Go ahead, Tony. Love to hear what you got to say.
Oh, man. Well, that just, you know, reminds me of just how so many people have kind of, I don't know, latched on to the quote unquote truth movement, but they're coming at it from a politically partisan viewpoint because they think that it confirms their pre-existing beliefs. And, you know, I think we know who I'm referring to, right? And, you know, a lot of them tend to be very religious fundamentalists. And, you know, they're still, they want confirmation of, you know, that their religion is the only path to truth, and that everything that's being exposed is just confirming that, you know, like it's the work of Satan or whatever. And I don't know. So it's like people are, you know, none of this would, like, government and the ruling elites wouldn't be able to do what they're doing if people didn't recognize that the world's fucked up, right? It's just that people can't agree on the cause of it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's pointing fingers at each other at the other side, but they're both wrong. And
yeah, it's like getting stuck in the world of effects rather than going back to what's causing these things, right?
Yeah.
Like you're at the end of the river pointing at the cloudy crap in the river, just being mad at the river. But it's like, whoa, what's pouring something into the river upstream? Let's go look. You know, that's what it takes. It's that extra step of initiative. Derek, you got something on your mind there?
Always. And yeah, I've been thinking like Crip Rick, right? But folks can check out on my channel, Awakening Mind. I have a stellar music mix, the unholiest hip hop mixtape, if you will. And I have sound sampled Mark Passio quite a bit in that, as well as Seth Exposa, who was in Funnel 2. But, geez, like a dog crying outside. Sorry. Presentations like that inspire me to, you know, make my musical magic tapestries and all that stuff. And it's sad that you still see so many people egoically attached to these false belief systems. And it's really hard to, you know, crack that shell of this, you know, husk around their soul. That's kind of partly taking control, and it's unfortunate. And yeah, the first thing, we always take it back to mentalism. We have to control our thoughts, and what Leslie was talking about in regards to, well, where do our thoughts come from? And if you guys watched the Funnel 2 conference that, you know, Seth was featured in, he spoke about Thoth and how thoughts are like Thoth, if you will. And you want to know how deep Natural Law is? It's deeper than Atlantis. And that's one of the, you know, the cataclysms that, you know, got us into the fucking cut off from connection state that we are as humanity, unfortunately. So things to consider. And yeah, y'all had so many great names, faces, and presentations throughout the past three events. And it's been a pleasure and honor to be a part of this. Looking forward to busting out my first presentation with you all. So, Rick, I feel you with that. So, yeah, with that being said, much love and respects. And, yeah, I'll send it to you, Rick. One Great World Warriors, what's up?
Absolutely. One Great Rick Warriors. God, I was just thinking about that. That's so cool. We're doing great stuff over there. But I just want to let everyone know that I think thank everyone who has taken part in Funnel, all the presenters. I think that every year the presentations just keep getting better and really building on each other. And so I think it's such a powerful tool and needs more people to see it for sure. And it is growing. Like, you know, like Leslie said, it is definitely growing. And I promote it if you can, get the word out there. I try to tell everybody I can about Funnel and to check it out and send them links, like give them no excuse not to show up. And I've met so many incredible people on the panel here. And the great thing about Funnel is it's led to some of my most incredible interviews I've ever done on radio. I've met so many amazing people, made great friends. I appreciate everyone in the chat and take the time to come and listen and put the work in watching the presentations. And yeah, I just want to thank everyone. I've met so many incredible people through Funnel and through this journey. And I'm excited for this year to see where it leads. So thank you.
Right on. Yeah. And that was kind of like one of the last things I wanted to mention. It's just been really neat making friends and connections. There's people that we met in the past funnels who are still communicating with us and showing up on the different threads and sending little messages from time to time. And it's been a bonding experience, binding in a good way. When we spend the weekend together at this conference, it's like you see some of the same names and faces and you see a couple new ones and you watch them in the chat and, you know, it feels like we really been through something together or something. So if you haven't experienced it yet, this is your opportunity, folks, to join us and to be part of the magic of the Funnel Conference. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think we're going to have another one of these clip sharing conversations because Will really wanted to join us tonight. And he's not happy to be stuck in traffic tonight, but we'll do it again for Will. And to why not keep building the excitement? And I would challenge and encourage everyone out there, try to find some cool clips. Send them my way or to one of us, and that would help the process. And share links. Check out freedomundernaturallaw.com. Leslie, do you have any last words? Sure.
I'll just say that I really think it's possible for us to create unity with our diversity, right? And that our diversity and our individual expression is what is so beautiful about life, and that we can come together at this very core understanding of natural law and how it is a universal principle that is applicable to everything and to all of us, and that links us. And if we can put aside our differences in other more superficial ways, but join together in this desire to understand truth, the deepest truth of how life operates, and take these ancient, you know, these not even ancient, but the principles that are intrinsic to creation itself, and we apply them to our lives, you know, take some of the hubris away and really see how we are a part of everything and everything is a part of us, and that we can align and have peace and freedom and a level of happiness that most people are not experiencing, but it's potential for us all. And I think that through our action, through our understanding, our knowledge, and then action, we can really make a better world. And we have to not give up on that idea, and we need to come together with unity and cooperation and teamwork, and overlook some of our differences in ways that aren't what's really important, you know, a lot of the squabbles and things that are happening. Because, you know, as I've heard said multiple times, these dark occultists, these social engineers, they may have their adversarial relationships or whatever, but they're unifying in a strategy, in a message, and they're organized in a way that we are not, and that is our downfall. So how can we become more unified? How can we become more organized and work together, right, from our individual selves with our creative expression and from our place of passion, from our heart, to create and share and, you know, with each other and support each other? I think there's great power in that. And that's what I see is one of the most important things about Funnel, Freedom Under Natural Law, for humanity rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really about care. And we need folks to care more, a lot more. We need to care. So I'm going to end by reading our, if you go to freedomundernaturallaw.com and scroll down, it says Freedom Under Natural Law. We are like-minded truth seekers, freedom activists, and content creators who deeply care for the freedom of humanity and who find meaning in planting seeds of knowledge and wisdom in order to end slavery one mind at a time. Our mission is to serve truth, to protect and respect nature and all forms of life, to live in accordance with the immutable and universal principles of natural law, to share our knowledge and wisdom in the most efficient way possible, starting with our own children, while continuing to improve ourselves and apply this knowledge into concrete actions, to help and support the self-sustainable communities of the future who live by the principles of natural law, with a deep understanding of the objective difference between right and wrong, and who support freedom, creativity, individual expression, and holistic health. And those words were formed from a lot of us organizers putting all our ideas together and kind of trying a few iterations, and we came up with that. And I think it still says the job pretty good that we're after. And so really thank you, Tony and Rick and Derek and Leslie, for putting time aside tonight and putting yourself out for other people to see and be inspired. And I hope it works. Be inspired, folks. Get inspired.
Thank you, everybody, for being a part of keeping this show going, showing up on Thursday nights. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Sure. So I think podcast, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good point to cut out. So I will play that song one more time, and so we'll roll out with some Diesel Automatic. Thanks to Diesel for his great music and words. And we'll see you guys next week.
Much Joe love. Murray, too, in the house. I forgot. I'm wearing a T-shirt, yo. What the
hell? We're going to talk about musicians coming up soon. We got some musicians that are coming together for
Absolutely. It's going to be awesome.
Conference, and that announcement is going to be coming out real soon. So
okay, yeah.
Stay posted. Stay posted, folks. All right. Here we go. Local video. Here we go. The song. All right, much love, guys.
If you are intelligent, then you know that freedom is inherent, because it's evident. It doesn't come from government. It don't come from the president. It comes from the creator of all universal elements. Some people say it's God-given. Others say it's heaven-sent. No matter what you call it, natural law sets the precedent. Subjective morality's a fallacy. There's laws that we cannot see, like gravity, that people accept happily, but tragically they believe that freedom has to be granted to a magically by royalty, a majesty. It's sad to see people willingly give up their liberty, cause they don't really see the enemy that's on a killing spree. The state, it hates sovereign individuals, cause those who follow natural law and abide by all its principles are mentally invincible, immune to the brainwash. We liberate ourselves and then help others break the chains off. We ain't soft, we go hard, like when the thunder hits, guns and clips, ready in self-defense from the government and the elite is running it. Blast them all, claim our freedom, standing under it. Natural law, the elite is running it. Blast them all, claim our freedom, standing under it. Natural law, freedom under natural law, for us all, yeah. Freedom under natural law, for us all, yeah. Freedom under natural law, for us all, what? For us all, what? Freedom for us all, what? You know what we do. Get big on me.